Good afternoon. This is our third class in the series on Eretz Yisrael, the Talmud, and Rav Kook. And what we're looking at here today is a statement from the Talmud in Brachot, Daf Chav Dalet Amud Bet. If you can see in the middle lines, in the fourth line, yeah, let me find the page over there. Okay, so you see here the fourth line, Rabbi Abba. Okay, I'm going to read the Gemara and then explain it. Rabbi Abba, hava kamishtameit minei de Rav Yehuda. Rabbi Abba was avoiding Rav Yehuda. He was avoiding him. Why? To have a kabayi lemesak la'ara di Yisrael, because Rabbi Abba wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and Rabbi Yehuda didn't let anybody go to Eretz Yisrael. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda said, "Kol ha'oleh mi Bavel le'Eretz Yisrael, anyone who goes from Bavel to Eretz Yisrael over ba'asei transgresses a positive commandment." You're doing an avera. Over ba'aseh. Right? Shenemar, because it says in Sefer Yirmiyahu, Bavela yavo'u, they will come to Bavel, v'shama yihiyu, and there they will remain, ad yom pagdi otam, until the day that I redeem them, ne'um Hashem. So Rav Yehuda used to say this, and Rabbi Abba was avoiding him because Rabbi Abba was planning to go to Eretz Yisrael. Which is really interesting because his Rabbi, seemingly, is saying don't go, but he's going anyway.
So I want to tell you that my grandfather got a certificate and he sent it to his niece in Poland. And Hanka, her sister who survived Auschwitz, said that when they received the certificate, they asked the rabbi to approve it. Her sister was supposed to go to Israel. Her sister was killed in Auschwitz.
Right.
She survived, and the rabbi came and tore it to pieces.
There you go.
He said, you have to go to wait for the Mashiach.
Right, so that's this line in the Gemara, right? Right. So we're going to see, Rav Kook is going to deal with what are the two sides here. An interesting take. But we see that this discussion is mamash, the discussion in the Talmud. Can you go up to Eretz Yisrael, or do you have to wait for Mashiach?
Yeah, and many people went to the rabbis, and they saw the Nazis were there. It was a horrible time, and they say you can't go.
Right, because it says in Yirmiyahu, Shama Yihiyu Ad Yom Pagdi, Ne'um Hashem. This is the question. Now, let's keep going, we're going to come back, Rav Kook will explain it. So, the problem is, he wanted to say goodbye. But he can't say goodbye. He can't say goodbye, because if he goes to say goodbye, his Rebbe is going to tell him you can't go. So what he did was, he said, instead of saying goodbye, I'm going to go listen to one more teaching. That will be my way of saying goodbye. Amar, so he said, Ezel ve'eshma mine milta, I will go and learn something from him, mi beit va'ada, from the yeshiva. So I'll go learn something, and that will be my way of saying goodbye. V'hadar apik, and then I will go to Eretz Yisrael. Azal ashkeche, so he went to the Beit Midrash, and he stood outside, and he listened, l'tana dekatani kameder of Yehuda, that there was a certain rabbi who was reading from the text, and he was saying, haya omed b'tfilah, if someone is in the middle of tefillah, v'nit atesh, Nitatesh. Okay. Now, usually, nitatesh means to sneeze.
Yeah.
But in the Talmud, there's two types of sneezing. There's sneezing milmala, which is regular sneezing, and then there's the mitatesh milmata, which means flatulation, to let out gas.
Oh.
So the sages in the Talmud, they used very, very clean language. So they didn't like to use the word for, so they called it nitatesh melmata.
Ah.
So the question that was happening in the Beit Midrash on that day was, what happens if you're standing in the middle of tefillah and the person needs to release gas? So what should he do? Mamtin achi yechaleh haruach. So you wait until the smell goes away. V'chozeru mitpalel, and then you go back to praying. Ika de amri. But there was another version of the text. Hayomed bitfilah. If someone's in the middle of praying, ubikesh lehitatesh, but he needs to release gas. He hasn't yet released gas. Marchik la'achrov dalad amot. He should move away from the place where he prays for amot. Umitatesh, and then he should release the gas. Umamtin achi yichle haruach, and wait till the smell goes away. V'chozer umitpalel, and when you go back to praying, you say a special prayer. V'omer, Ribono shel olam, Master of the world. Yitzartanu, you made us. Nekavim, nekavim, chalulim, chalulim. You made us with holes in our body, and we have cavities in our body. Galui v'yadua lafanecho, you know, cherpateinu, echlimateinu, you know our disgrace, you know our shame, bechayenu, in our lifetime, ubachriteinu, and when we die, rima v'tolea, we will become worms and maggots. That's the tefillah that you say, umatchil mimakom shepasak, and then you go back to your prayers. Amar, he said, Rabbi Abba, Ilu labati ela lishmoa davar ze dayai. If I had only come to hear this very important teaching, dayai, that would be enough. Now, obviously, we have to wonder why, of all the teachings that he heard, this is the teaching that he hears about the rules of letting out gas in the middle of prayer. Right? And what does this have to do with this underlying issue of going to Eretz Yisrael and not going to Eretz Yisrael? So let's hold on to that question. Now I want to fill you in on a little bit of background here, because we have to understand Rav Kook is going to try to give his opinion on what the debate here is really about. But in order for you to understand, you have to know that this idea appears in three places in the Talmud. Three places in the Talmud. One, with Rabbi Abba, that we just read, who wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, but his Rebbe, Rabbi Yehuda, wouldn't let him. And there's another place in the Talmud, in Masechet Shabbat, and it's also in Ketubot, where there's another student, Rabbi Zeira, also was a student of Rabbi Yehuda, who also wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael, and was also avoiding his teacher because he wouldn't let him. Which is interesting that Rav Yehuda has the only people in the Talmud who the Talmud says they wanted to go to Eretz Yisrael were the students of Rav Yehuda who said you can't go. And there's something very interesting about that. But what's even more interesting is the Talmud in Masechtet Ketubot, when it discusses this, the Talmud actually raises the issues about whether you could go to Eretz Yisrael or you couldn't go to Eretz Yisrael. The Talmud has a long debate about whether this prohibition applies, it doesn't apply, there were these oaths that were taken, a whole discussion over there, Masechtet Ketubot, which we're not learning about, but Rav Kook does deal with those sections of the Talmud at length. We're only dealing with the other student, Rabbi Abba, that's our Gemara, who the Talmud does not give any explanation for why he disagrees with his Rebbe. His Rebbe has a pasuk in the Sefer Yirmiyahu that says, "Bavela yavohu v'shama yiyu ad yom pagdi." So the Talmud in Ketubot gives a whole explanation for why Rabbi Zeira held he was of the opinion that it doesn't apply to us. But the Talmud doesn't do that for Rabbi Abba. So Rav Kook sees this as an opening, and he's going to give a different explanation. So here's what Rav Kook says. The Amar Rav Yehuda, Kol ha'oleh mi-bavel le'eretz Yisrael over ba'asei, transgresses a positive commandment, she'nemar bavel lo'yavo'u v'shama yiyu ad yom pakti otam. Now, I want to remind you that we've said this last time. Rav Kook is writing this sefer before he comes to Eretz Yisrael. He's still, so to speak, in Zoymol in Eastern Europe. So I think that we will appreciate the way that he writes this even more so when we understand it that way. So here's what he says. Yesod tmimut ha'avodah v'chassidut ha'amitit hu. The foundation of true, pure service of God and real chassidut, real piety, is shahashleimut ha'pratit, the completion of the individual, uchukoto eleha, and the desire of the individual, lo titfas makom klal leumat chalko b'shleimut haklal. The way it's supposed to be is that the individual's needs and the individual's accomplishments and the individual's fulfillment should not interfere, should not have any rights if it interferes with the greatness of the general group.
Which is what?
He's going to explain. But first, this is Rav Kook, he's building an idea. V'ish kazeh, shekana lo hashleimut hazeh, b'yosher sichlo v'tivo, someone who achieves this perfection, someone who can put the klal, the group, first. And a person does this, b'yosher sichlo, meaning with a clear mind, understanding what's good for the group, v'tivo, and you make your nature, where you become completely selfless. Hu ha-chassid ha-amiti, that is a true chassid. Ha-holech ba'atzat ha-sechel, who can use their mind to run their life, v'lo al-pi hergesh shel ahavat atzmo, without the feelings of self-love or selfishness. Okay, so before, we don't know where he's going, right? This is the way Rav Kook writes these things. He wants you first to understand that every person all the time has to deal with themselves versus the group. And in Judaism, this is a very, very big dual kind of thing, where you have some elements within Judaism that make it seem like it's about the tzibur, about the klal. For example, we've talked about the idea that you can't even pray by yourself in the same way that you can pray with a tzibur, right? We know this. But in some ways, the Torah also insists that there should be an individual, right? Bishvili nivra ha'olam is the famous statement. But he's not going there. He's not there yet. What he's saying first is the greatest level of shlemut is to give up your needs for the sake of the klal.
That this includes chesed or tzedakah that we give to the klal?
Right, right. But what he's saying more is that if, let's say, you have your needs, or you could give yourself to the tzibur, so you should put the needs of the tzibur before yourself. That's a higher level of living.
Can you give us an example?
Let's take the example of prayer. Let's say I pray better by myself. I like it when it's quiet, there's no talking. I sit in my house and I like to, and when I'm praying by myself, I can pray for hours someone who has that. But you can go to the synagogue, you can go to shul, and help the tzibur daven by joining them, but your prayers will be missing, lacking. So he's saying that the chassid, don't make any assumptions about where he's going, because Rav Kook is going to take an interesting approach here. But he's saying the chassid is someone who can be completely selfless and will always put the needs of the tzibur above themselves. Let's take another example. Let's say a person who is, let's actually use a real example that happened all the time. Nurses. So a nurse is someone who obviously professionally is someone who's there and deals with sick people. But when there's a pandemic, so for the nurses every day to go in and deal with this, that's endangering themselves for the sake of the klal. Yeah. So what we're saying is that's a higher level of living. Now, in the case of the nurse, it's a little bit not fair because that's their job.
Yeah.
Right? That's what they signed up for.
Yeah.
But let's say there's a volunteer. So someone who volunteers in such a time to help people, so then that would be putting the tzibur before themselves. What Rav Kook is going to, where he's going to go, is what he's going to explain to us. And I'm giving away the end, but it's important to be prepared for this. Is that he's going to say that it's too much to ask someone to be completely selfless. It's too much. To be selfless, where you have no interest in yourself at all, you have nothing for yourself, that's too much. He says, "V'hine romamut ha'ma'ala hazot hi nifla'a." It's an exalted level, it's a very high level. You know where we find this level? Metzanuha ba'adon ha'nevi'im, the master of all the prophets, Moshe Rabbeinu. She'amar, he says to God, "You save these people." Ve'im ayin, and if not, mecheni na misifracha asher katavta, erase me from the book which you wrote. What Moshe is saying is, if you're going to kill the Jewish people, take me with them. Well, why? What's the point? What are you going to gain if Moshe's, just because the Jewish people are gone, how is that going to get better if you're gone too? The answer is because Moshe was completely selfless. That's the highest level of being. That's Moshe. Amnam kol hatzadikim, and every tzadik, yalu b'malazo l'fi erkam. Every tzadik can reach a certain level. It's a good song. So each tzadik can reach this level based on who they are. Ad sheyesh, to the point where there are, she'im shleimut haklal ikrit v'chashuva lo, he says, for most tzaddikim, even if the klal, the group, is the ikar, and the klal is chashuva, right, important and special, mikol makom, I afsher she'yabata legamri etzlo cheshik ashlamato hapratit le'erka. He says, it is impossible for most people to shut off the selfishness. And so we have to recognize that as much as a person has an obligation to the group, and if I was Moshe Rabbeinu, I would be able to completely nullify myself to the group. But that's not an expectation that you can have, even from most tzaddikim. Many tzaddikim, they can put aside themselves in most ways, but there's still a little bit of selfishness that's involved there. Now, I'm going to stop here. Before we go on, he's going to bring to the point. He's going to come to the point about Eretz Yisrael. But I think it's such a beautiful idea that he's bringing out, because I think very often we make people feel guilty for being selfish. Mm-hmm. Right? Very often. We make people feel guilty. Right, when let's say a 10 people want to go somewhere, and one person says, "I don't want to go to this place," this happens all the time, right? "I don't want to go to this place." And everyone looks at this person and says, you're ruining this gathering for all of us, because the 10 of us want to go, and you don't. So what do we think of that person? They're being selfish. Mm-hmm. And we make that person feel bad. On the other hand, the group has to consider that that person has a right to want what they want. That person has the right to say, "I don't want to go there." And if just because you guys are going to lose out, I could be extra special and be mevater and give in so that the group will be happy. Or I could not. And I have that choice. I have that right. Usually, we think of that in a negative way. And he's saying, even if it is negative, it's a reality that we can't help to be selfish. And that's not just we can't help to be selfish. On the level we are, selfishness is okay, a little bit. Maybe one day we'll work our way up where we can nullify ourselves completely. But until we do, I have this need for myself. Right? So far, so good?
But it's also that sometimes a single person has its own needs. And maybe the place that the group wanted to go didn't fit him because he's a little different.
Right, so the question is, well, maybe he should concede.
Yeah.
He should give away his needs. Right? Who are you to insist on your needs in place of the group? And that's what Rav Kook is saying, that's okay. That's okay to do sometimes. Okay, now let's see where he's going with this. V'hine, Eretz Yisrael, v'ada'ayim osifo shlemut. Eretz Yisrael brings you, makes you into a better person, it brings you to completion. V'ha'am ha'yoshev ba. And when the Jewish people live in Eretz Yisrael, nasu avon, their sins are forgiven. There's something about living in Eretz Yisrael that elevates you. Va'avira machim, and its air makes you wiser. Just being in the air of Eretz Yisrael makes you wiser. Amnam, he says, however, like this. Rabbi Yehuda, who's the one who says you can't go to Eretz Yisrael, Alav Amar Shmuel, that the Talmud says about him, that Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, or Shmuel was Rabbi Yehuda's Rabbi, he said, Ein ze yelud isha. This is such a holy person, I can't believe he was born from a woman. Right? Meaning he's so holy, he's not human. He's like an angel. That's what Shmuel said about Rabbi Yehuda. So he says, that's why Rabbi Yehuda says, don't go to Eretz Yisrael. Lo hayta shlemuto hapratit nechshavet be'enav klal neged shlemut haklal. He's going to explain in a second why the klal is better in Bavel. Let's give it him a second. But what he's saying is, Rabbi Yehuda was an angel. He had no selfishness. He had no interest in his own needs. He only wanted what would be better for the entire klal Yisrael. So as a result, Al-Kain, Ra'a be'Eretz Yisrael, he saw in Eretz Yisrael, Rak, Mayan Yeshua la'shlamat ha'klal, he saw that Eretz Yisrael needs to be a salvation for all the Jewish people, not for anyone as an individual. Al-Kain Amar, that's why he said, Shira'ui shekol yachid, that every individual, lo yarshela atzmo, should not allow himself, lehenot le'or shlemuta, to benefit from the light of Eretz Yisrael, meaning this is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, that no one should bask in the light, no one should enjoy Eretz Yisrael, no one should be any part of Eretz Yisrael. Kolzman, as long as shlohigia hazman shiuchal haklal lilahanot mimena, until the entire Jewish people together can benefit. Why? Va'alze tzarich vaday pekida shemaimit. So then we need God to intervene and to save us. Right? You see where he's going with this? Rav Yehuda is saying that the Jewish people. And he's going to elaborate on this a little bit more, we'll see soon. He's saying somehow the Jewish people themselves as a group are going to be better off if we wait. You as an individual will be better if you go to Eretz Yisrael right now. Because Eretz Yisrael, if you go there, you'll become a better person, you'll become a holier person, you'll become more righteous, you'll become everything about you will become better, you'll become wiser. But it will take away from the potential miracle and the great accomplishment that will happen with the Tzibur when there will be the coming of Mashiach. Right? This is all Rabbi Yehuda, and we're going to see what Rabbi Abba disagrees, right? But he says, "Valzeh tzarich vaday pekida shemaimit," you need a heavenly redemption. And then Rav Kook, this because he's a Rav Kook, puts in Al Pi Neis, either there can be a Neis, a miracle, right? Mashiach will come on a cloud and will suddenly overwhelm all the nations of the world, whatever miracles, however you understand the miracles of the coming of the days of Mashiach. Oh, says Rav Kook, Al Pi Teva. It could also happen in the natural order of things. But either way, whether it's Al Pi Neis or Al Pi Teva, it will be a Pekida Shemaimit. Right. Now you can see where the students of Rav Kook are trying to figure out, well, number one, Rav Kook is telling us that there's actually two options for what Mashiach could look like. It could be Al Pi Neis or it could be Al Pi Teva, right, which is certainly not the way you would hear many people describe what they're waiting for in terms of the coming of Mashiach. And so you can understand how the students of Rav Kook would then try to figure out, well, how do we understand the process of what would happen in the land of Israel, you know, after the passing of Rav Kook, and then the development and the creation of the state and all of that, and the wars that would follow. I mean, all of that is studied and analyzed by... But here he's already laying the groundwork. Aval eich sheyihyeh, however it takes place, tzrichot hasibot sheyizdamnu, but it has to happen in a way, ba'ofen, sheyuchal haklal lehitnachel be'eretz Yisrael, that the entire Jewish people has to be able to settle in Eretz Yisrael. V'lehenot mituva, and to benefit from its good, hagashmi, v'haruchani, the physical and the spiritual, shekeshurim zebezeh, because the physical and the spiritual are bound to each other. So Rav Yehuda, and I think this is something we have to remember, that I think a lot of people, when they hear a statement of Rav Yehuda saying something like, you can't go to Eretz Yisrael. So I think in our minds, we think of him as lowering the status of Eretz Yisrael by saying people shouldn't go there. But Rav Kook is not attacking Rav Yehuda. On the contrary, Rav Kook is saying, Rav Yehuda is right if we were all angels. So yeah, if we're all angels and we can all be selfless and we can all not be concerned with ourselves, so then yeah, we can stay in Europe even if there's a war coming, because don't worry about yourself, worry about the klal. That's what Rav Yehuda was on the level of. V'hayan nira lo, says Rav Kook, Rav Yehuda was of the opinion, ki bekibush kal yachid et chukato hapratit, that if every individual would hold back their personal desires, leman mitzo hasha'a shetavo Yeshua klalit, and wait for the communal salvation, mizet titzmach yeshuat haklal mitzad hashgacha, that will bring Mashiach. You hear what he's saying? Rav Yehuda felt that if we would all not go to Eretz Yisrael, if we would all stay in Bavel, and we would all cry and pray and mourn not having Eretz Yisrael, even though Eretz Yisrael is a camel ride away, that would bring Mashiach. Ki hatefillah vahishtabchut shel kol hanefoshot lefnei Hashem. Because when the Jewish people as a whole pray and pour out their souls before God, lehashivenu le'eretz kachenu, tiyeh al yedei zeh kavua rak l'tachlit haklalit, we will all show our selflessness, v'titkabel yoter, and our prayers will be received. Ki hu hadavar ha-tachliti, this is the highest level of being. And so Rav Yehuda says, yes, we have 6 million Jews, and you know, I may have to pass away in the Holocaust, but for the Jewish people as a whole, this process is a process of furthering.
For example, the Lubavitch rabbi, he didn't allow the Lubavitch to leave, but he escaped to America.
Yes.
So they were all killed, and the same the Satmar. He said, you're not supposed to go to Israel. It's a sin.
Right.
But he saved his life.
Right. Well, it's an interesting thing. Yeah, I mean, that's...
Are they selfless?
left? No, they well, were taking care of their life, but yeah. all the
right.
communities
well,
were...
Well, they didn't go to Eretz Israel, right? They went to America, which is interesting, right? So there's some question about that. But again, this is all in Rabbi Yehuda. We're going to get to Rabbi Abba.
Because America was considered the Treife state,
right.
and Israel was considered the nose.
Right, that's right.
So why is it? But it doesn't show selfless if the rabbis save their life and let all the congregation...
Right, so again, according to his opinion, the way Rav Kook is explaining it, is he's not talking about the selflessness of whether you're going to live or die. It's about the selflessness of your spiritual elevation of going to Eretz Israel. So he's saying that we're only discussing the point that you can't go to Eretz Israel, because if nobody goes to Eretz Israel, then Mashiach will come. That's what Rav Yehuda was saying.
That's the opposite of what we think.
Well, we're going to see. Rabbi Abba disagrees with this, and Rabbi Abba ignores him and goes up to Eretz Israel, right? Yeah. Right. So we'll see. Gam im yeratzon Hashem shetiyah hapikida tivit, and says, and if God's will is that Mashiach shouldn't be miracles, but it should be a sort of natural order. But you still need the group to pray. After the conditions will be fulfilled, which Rav Kook would explain is the nations of the world, you know, the Balfour Declaration. Rav Kook saw in that the Pekida from Hashem. Right, and Rav Kook was of the opinion that it, as we saw before, that it can happen al piteva. But for an individual to go up before the klal comes up, that would be interfering. And v'achrei tamchama shuram b'derech Hashem, ba'ofen shtia zechut ha'tshuva misayatam, and says, and even then, when we have it in nature, you still need to shuva for us to receive divine support. And he repeats the point. Hine kol zman shlo yuchal kol yachid lazbia cheshko haruchani. So if every individual controls their spiritual desire, v'gagav gaguav ha'azim la'aretz asher einenu v'libenu sham, right? If you control these powerful desires to go to the land where our eyes and our hearts are over there, meaning this is Rav Kook writing, and he's writing this in Europe, and he's saying, I'm reading Rav Yehuda. And when I read Rav Yehuda, now you may say, well, I'm not following Rav Yehuda, but Rav Kook is reading the Talmud, and he's saying, well, what is Rav Yehuda saying? And he's saying, he's finding himself, that his eyes and his heart are desiring to go to Eretz Israel, but the words of Rav Yehuda are speaking to Rav Kook and saying, if you go, then you're going to slow the process of the redemption. And if he would control himself, then yitaged yoter hakoach haklali, v'tiyasiba muchanet lerabot tachnit klalit b'zeh. So something which could cause even the slightest, and this is where Rav Kook is already telling you the other side. What he's saying is like this. How much, essentially what he's going to say in the next few statements, how much could each individual gain by being in Eretz Israel? So much. There's so much holiness, there's so much purity, and the language he used before is lihanot mituva hagashmi v'haruchani. Eretz Yisrael is a blessed land. The fruits are blessed, and the land is blessed, and the air is blessed, and the water, everything is holy, everything is great in the land. That's a lot of personal benefit that I could get. If I go to Eretz Yisrael, how much am I taking away from the tzibur? Such a small amount. One person's individual prayers will be slightly less for the redemption because he'll be ready in Eretz Yisrael. So that's a reason why I can't go? Right? All the benefits that I can have in Eretz Yisrael, so I have to give all that up because of the tiny little benefit for the tzibur? So he says, Lefi malat chasidutoh shel Rabbi Yehuda. The answer is because Rabbi Yehuda was such a tzaddik, he was so selfless. Lo hayu inyanei hayachid afilu hayoter shleimim benalim shoklim etzlo ma'uma. He says, so to him, any kind of selfish act was no. So he said, nobody's allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. Says Rav Kook, Amnam, however, Hadracha kezot einan uta ki im leshalem shekamoto. You can say this for yourself. You could say it for someone who's on your level. You have no selfishness, so good for you. You can be selfless. Aval kol tzadikei hadorot, but the righteous of the generation, sheim kol tzidkatam, however righteous they were, mikal makom ashleimut haprati tofeset makom. There's a place and there's a right for my individual needs. Afshehu rak b'mala elyona, liot davek b'Hashem. I want to get closer to God, and I can be closer to God in Eretz Yisrael. V'lalachet b'drachav. I want to go in the ways of Hashem, and I can do that better in Eretz Yisrael. U'lehaskil b'amito. Iafsher klal. It is impossible for them. La'atzor cheshkam, to control their desires. Ha'amitz. It sounds very autobiographical, right? He's speaking of himself. The desire is just too much. I'm going to Eretz Yisrael, right? Le'he'or ba'or Hashem, ayidei nachlat Hashem. She'tashiv nafsham hane'ala. So you want me to give up the joy of my life b'shvil cheshbon rachok. He calls Rav Yehuda's opinion a cheshbon rachok. It's a far out calculation. It is very, you have to work very hard to explain to me that if I go to Eretz Yisrael, I'm going to slow down the geula. It's such a difficult, that's what he's saying is a cheshbon rachok. Because what he's saying is like this. I hate to use numbers, but that's just the way. Let's say, in order for Mashiach to come, we need 1,000,000 points. Right? We need 1,000,000 points. And each individual Jew, each tefillah that we do is 1 point, 2 points, 3 points, and so when all the Jews come together and we pray and we reach 1,000,000 points, then Mashiach will come. So if I go to Eretz Yisrael, I will have less points to give. Because I will be so happy in Eretz Yisrael that I won't desire the Geula so much. I won't pray for the Geula so much, and so it'll diminish the number of points. Says Rav Kook, but how many points will be increased because I'm living in Eretz Yisrael and I'm doing more mitzvot, and I'm closer to God? That also adds points. So you think somehow you've made a calculation that the individual's growth is not a... Like, he's saying it's far out. It's the greater likelihood is that each individual person's growth should be more important. If what you need is to save your life, so then you save your life, even if some, in distant calculation, they may end up slowing down the geula, but chayecha kodmin, right? You have to save your life. Behem, Kaven shemasehem gamkein lematara romema ritzuya. He says, I'm not going to Eretz Yisrael because I want a party. Why are we going to Eretz Yisrael? Because it's a holy land. It's our homeland and it's a holy land. So he says, ki hayachid hanale, if you go to Eretz Yisrael and you make yourself a better person because of it, mimenu yibaneh haklal hashalem, you'll do more for the klal because you'll be a better person.
I'm right? Just curious, did Rabbi Kook did he go by himself or all of his community? Because, for example, I know that the Gur Rebbe allowed singles to go to Israel, unlike other. But when the Yablone Rebbe told him that he's taking 600 families, he objected that many would go. So according to Rabbi Kook, it means that the individual can go to Israel, but not a group of people.
Right. So there's another issue, which is the Talmud in Ketubot discusses the idea of the Shalosh Shavuot, which we're not dealing with in our class, maybe at some point. But there's the Talmud describes three Shavuot that God took from the Jewish people, and one of them, these oaths, is Shelo Yalu Bechoma, that we can't go up to Eretz Yisrael like a wall, Kachoma. So the question is, how do you define what a wall is? So that's why he would have argued that many people going at once is a choma, going up like a wall. Rav Kook is not talking about the number of people going. Rav Kook is just saying that if you're going up because of your personal desire, that's okay. So it doesn't matter how many people are going or how you're going. I mean, he's going to deal with, we're going to talk about this idea of Shloyalu b'choma in a later class, not today. So in terms of the number of people that go up, but he's learning that it's more about what your intention is. If your intention is that you're going to change, bring the geula yourself, that's a little bit problematic. But if you're going up because Eretz Yisrael is the place where you're going to be elevated, so that's a positive thing. In other words, going up to Eretz Yisrael for the right reason, not only does it not stop Mashiach from coming, like Rav Yehuda said, but it actually causes Mashiach to come. If more Jews would go to Eretz Yisrael, is what Rav Kook is saying, if everyone would come, again, without Kachoma, which we'll deal with later, but if everyone would come with the intention of spiritual elevation, then we would bring the Geula faster than if we stayed in Galut and waited. So that's a new idea, right? This idea that you can actually use going up to Eretz Yisrael early. And it's interesting. What's interesting is that there's a big problem on the opinions that say that you're not allowed to go to Eretz Yisrael. What about, who is the person by whom you could say every Jew considers him a posek that they follow? Is Rabbi Yosef Cairo, the author of the Shulchan Aruch. He was born in Spain, 1484. Right? He left in 1492. Eventually he made his way to Turkey. And then he decided to go to Eretz Yisrael. He's the author of the Shulchan Aruch. Right? So whatever he does is al pi halacha. So it's a big question. How did he go to Eretz Yisrael? Right? Shouldn't he have stayed in Turkey and waited for Mashiach to come? That's a question that's asked. So what Rav Kook is saying is that the only time you can't go up is like this. If you're such a tzaddik that for you to stay in Chutz La'aretz would be a completely, you're capable of the selflessness, and so you can wait and pray and just sit here and all of that, then that's good. But that's not a level you should expect for most people. And if someone's not like Moshe Rabbeinu, that not only are they allowed to go, but they're encouraged to go. He says, Gam zot hi derech Hashem. This is also a way of serving God. I want to emphasize this point, even though I emphasized it before. Most opinions, when they pick a side in this debate, will trash the other side. And Rav Kook doesn't do that. He's saying, Rav Yehuda's not wrong that there is an element of staying in Chutz La'aretz, that there's a concept behind it. There is, there's an idea there. But it's not for everyone. That's what he's saying. It's for individuals. So it's an interesting thing that you're pointing out, because those rabbis, the teachers, the leaders, who said, no, we have to stay in Chutz La'aretz, they're entitled to say that for themselves.
But when they saw the Nazis are coming, when they saw the humiliation, when they saw the killing, it didn't start right away. They saw what was going on.
They didn't read the sign. I'm always reminded of the Talmud that says in Gittin about Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, that he didn't do, he did something and it wasn't so smart. And the Talmud says that sometimes HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Meshiv Chachamim Achor. Sometimes when God wants to bring punishment to the Jewish people, and we have a lot of smart Jews, a lot of smart Jews, and sometimes we could outsmart God, right? We could, God bring something and we can undo it, and so God will make the smart people stupid. And so, but on the other hand, there were Rabbeim, there were leaders who were saying, go, go, everyone get out of here. And people made fun of them, like Noach. Like there's a Mabul coming, and he's building a teva, and they said, ha, 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 look at the old crazy man who's building a boat, but he thinks there's going to be a flood. And that's how they treated these individuals. Right? Rav Kook is not dealing with this question, obviously. He's not dealing with the issue of the danger of life. He's only dealing with this opinion in the Talmud. So before I finish Rav Kook, I want to point out, it's interesting that when he came to hear one last teaching, what does he hear about? He hears about if you're omeid be'emsa tefillah and the person has to release gas. That's the teaching. It's a kind of strange teaching before you go to Eretz Yisrael. But if you understand that what he was realizing was, his Rebbe was saying, it's that sometimes an individual, because when it comes to gas, that's a very selfish thing. It's a very, right? It's the failure of man. Is when you say, when a person releases gas and tefillah, he has to say, Rebono shel olam, yitzartanu nekavim nekavim chalulim chalulim galav yadu alafanecha cherpatenu eklimatenu v'chayenu u'be'achriteinu rima v'toleah, this prayer of saying that, you know what, not everyone can be clean all the time. You can't be perfect. You can't approach tefillah every time and be in a perfect state. You can't always daven perfectly. And when he hears this teaching from his Rebbe, according to Rav Kook, it becomes a haskama. Rav Kook doesn't say this. I'm writing this into his. But he hears a haskama from Rav Yehuda saying, listen, I know sometimes people are not on this high level, and that's okay. You have to say to God, listen, I'm not perfect, but this is what I need to do. And so he sees that as a little bit of a right. So he says, Rav Kook finishes, he says, Gamzot hi derech Hashem, this is a way of service of Hashem, v'hi mida re'uya l'chal adam shalim bedorotav, and this is an appropriate way to be, if you're righteous, in your own generation. What's bedorotav? That means that you have to realize that in different generations, different things are necessary. Maybe in the days of Yirmiyahu, or for Rav Yehuda himself, maybe it's appropriate to say that everyone should stay in Galut and suffer. And suffer for the sake of the Tzibur. And Rabbi Abba disagrees. And he goes to Eretz Yisrael. And Rabbi Zeira, the other student, also disagrees. And they go to Eretz Yisrael because they say that the spiritual elevation of Eretz Yisrael, I'm entitled to it even if it costs you in your calculations. We don't have to join in that. I can do what's best for me. And he's saying in every generation, a person can make that choice. If you're completely selfless and you want to stay in Chutz La'aretz and so that you can pray better for the coming of Mashiach, that's good. It's not a bad thing. It's good. That's good for you. You do that. But don't expect everyone else to be selfless. People are entitled to ask for what they want, to need what they want, and that's okay. That's a way of serving God. And you know what? If a person allows themselves what they want and what they need, they can actually become a better person. And that becoming of a better person will benefit the klal also. So in this case of Eretz Yisrael, you know, if we bring it all the way back to modern times, Rav Kook would say, yeah, for the Jewish people as a whole, or even the ones in Chutz La'aretz, in the diaspora, if there are Jews in Eretz Yisrael, they're not slowing the Geula, they're helping bring about the Geula. Look at how much Torah and mitzvot is being performed in Eretz Yisrael. That can't be a negative for us. And so therefore, Rav Kook says, I have to go to Eretz Yisrael. Right. Any points here?
I'm just curious about the times. When did Rav Abba went to Israel? At what? time Moses.
So if you picture it like this, Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi writes the Mishnah in about the year 200. Shmuel is the Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. Rabbi Yehuda is the Talmud of Shmuel. And Rabbi Abba is the Talmud of Rabbi Yehuda. So we're talking somewhere around 300.
That's Rabbi Abba and Rabbi Zera that you said?
Same time. Because they're the two students of the same Rabbi. Right? So this is... The Jewish people had really... I mean, we'd been in Babel for a while... But in terms of the second exodus back to Babel, he's the third generation. So his Rebbe's Rebbe had gone from Eretz Yisrael. Shmuel was a student of Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi in Eretz Yisrael, and then he moved to Babel to open the yeshiva, and it's Rav and Shmuel who would start all the yeshivot that would turn into the Talmud Bavli. So it's two generations later that the students want to go back to Eretz Yisrael, and the Rebbe is saying no. Right, so it's really fascinating. I just find it really interesting that instead of this being a debate over whether you're allowed to go back or not allowed to go back, Rav Kook is making this more about the individual versus the group, and that to me is very interesting, because what he's done then is he's shown that both sides have merit. It's just that the other side that says don't go to Eretz Yisrael is impractical. Right? It's an ideal, but it's not practical. It's for Moshe Rabbeinu and for Rav Yehuda, for individuals. But for the rest of us, this whole concept in the Talmud basically doesn't apply to us, because we need Eretz Yisrael. And so that's how he's coming to the conclusion that he comes to. And that's part of Rav Kook's, we understand, his decision that it is okay to go to Eretz Yisrael. And so he goes and he encourages everyone to go. Right?
Yes. For example, Shabtai Tzvi, the Mashiach, it was much farther. It was in when...
That's the 1600s,
the
right? Right. So he's leading the Jews from Eastern Europe, but you know, that's an example of where the klal kind of got ruined. We don't understand how traumatized we were after the Shabtai Tzvi story. You have to remember, the Jews in the 1600s, when he shows up, thousands of Jews believe Mashiach was here. Kfar Yigia, he's here, right? That feeling of joy was then smashed, right? And the Jewish people were so traumatized that we banned Kabbalah. Anyone who was praying with a little bit too much fervor, we threw him out of the synagogue because he's probably a Sabbatean. I mean, we were so hurt, and that pain lasted for 100 years. You know, and that's the danger of the false Mashiachs, and that's why some people were very hesitant when they saw Rav Kook's writings, is that they had that same fear. But you know, the Jewish people are very traumatized. We've gone through a lot in the last 2,000 years, so we're very suspicious. And so that's why it's so important, as what we're looking at here, is that Rav Kook is not saying, I invented this idea. He's saying the Talmud discusses this, right? We live by the Talmud. The Talmud discusses this. If you look at the Talmud properly, you'll see that there was a rabbi who said what you're saying. And his students ignored him. And they went to Eretz Yisrael. How do we understand that? The sages didn't say, and he was a terrible person because he went. On the contrary, it tells us the story of how he said goodbye. That means the Talmud also agrees that there's Rabbi Yehuda and there's Rabbi Abba. So we have to understand what the debate is over. Once you understand it, then you can see where it is. And Rav Kook says, we are Rabbi Abba, not Rabbi Yehuda. Okay.
Yeah, this is the beauty of the Talmud that they show.
Right, they show both sides. And then you can, right, Rav Kook says, well, this is what applies to us. Right. Well, you're right. We always need both sides. But okay, Bezat Hashem, next week.
Next week.